You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
I know many Americans are worried about the cost of the bill, and I understand their concern. This bill commits up to $700 billion taxpayer dollars. Because a large amount of money is necessary to have an impact on our financial system.
That's President Bush speaking not even an hour ago, indicating his support for the deal that has apparently been negotiated between the party leaders on Capitol Hill, the $700 billion Wall Street bailout plan. And we've been discussing it all morning, and now are joined by Gus Fauché, the director of macroeconomics at moodyseconomy.com, for another take on this bailout plan. Good morning, Gus.
Good morning.
So, signs that there's confidence in this plan that seems to have been worked out between the parties?
Well, we'll see what happens. You know, we're probably not going to know for months whether it actually fully works. But certainly the idea is to make financial markets and banks more confident they'll be able to meet their obligations and they get rid of these bad loans and get out with doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is making loans.
And there are still some questions as to how any of this is going to work specifically.
Correct. I mean, a lot of the details are up to the Treasury Department, in particular, in terms of how the Treasury Department is going to go out and buy these mortgage-backed securities, and we're just not sure how that's going to happen.
And let's listen to another bit of what President Bush had to say about this plan in terms of how taxpayers might actually benefit.
In fact, we expect that over time, much, if not all, of the tax dollars we invest will be paid back.
What indications, Gus, do we have that there's the possibility of that happening at all?
Well, there are two things. First of all, the Treasury Department, when it will be buying these securities from the banks, those securities are worth something. We don't know what they're worth right now, and we'll find out, and we probably will find out over the months and years. And the Treasury Department can hold on to them with the hopes that the housing market is going to turn around and that these securities will be worth more than the Treasury Department paid for them. The second way that the taxpayers could benefit is that the taxpayers will be given the ability to buy stock in the banks that are selling these securities to the Treasury Department. And so ultimately, if these banks turn things around, if their stock prices improve, then the taxpayers could benefit that way as well.
Let me get your reaction to some news that's just crossing the wires, Gus, and that is that the FDIC says Citigroup will acquire Wachovia.
Yes. I mean, obviously, Wachovia has been hit hard by the problems in subprime lending. The FDIC is concerned. They insure all those deposits up to $100,000 at Wachovia. And so it's in their interest to make sure that the bank is strong. Obviously, Wachovia has some good assets along with some bad ones. And so they tried to go out and broker a deal that will allow Wachovia to stay open and to continue to so that depositors, their money will be safe.
Although this sounds a little bit like Washington and the Federal Treasury attempting to get out from under obligations to the FDIC if Wachovia were to fail. And last week we had WaMu that was forced to be acquired. And there were, you know, many, many billions of dollars of obligations if the FDIC would have had to have stepped in there. Here's the Treasury trying to get out of obligations at the same moment that it's obligating itself for $700 billion or more. It seems that there's some worry that the feds can't do everything. It can't insure all these depositors and take care of the financial markets.
Well, yeah, I mean, those are two separate funds. I mean, the FDIC has its own fund that's paid for by banks pay insurance premiums so that accounts are insured. That fund is running out of money. We did see some big bank failures, in particular the failure of IndyMac, and the federal government took that over. I think from the government's point of view, and also, I think the government really doesn't want to be running banks. That's not their business. They'd prefer to have Wachovia bought out, and so that way the federal government doesn't have to worry about running the bank, and instead somebody else can do it.
They'd rather just run railroads, I guess. Amtrak.
And run mortgage-backed securities.
And Gus, we actually spoke with Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney this morning, who's a member of the House Financial Services Committee, and she pointed to this the struggle of Wachovia as the exact reason why Congress has no choice but to act at this point. Do you think that's right?
I think that that's right. I mean, obviously there are a lot of financial institutions out there, primarily banks, but some other financial institutions. You know, I mean, they made bad bets on some of these mortgages. There's no question about that. And they wrote some mortgages that they shouldn't have. The concern is that there are all these banks out there that are holding bad debts. It's unclear which bank is holding how much. That's creating a great deal of uncertainty. So banks are unwilling to lend to one another. And the concern is if the federal government doesn't step in, we can see a lot of these failures and credit in the system will simply freeze up.
Well, Gus, the thing that puzzles me about this whole thing is that all economists are saying that the real threat to the economy is not so much the failure of the banks, but the freezing of credit and the fact that banks aren't lending anymore in the credit markets. There's nothing in this bill, unless I'm mistaken, that actually compels the banks, once they get their money and sell their toxic assets and restructure their balance sheets, there's nothing in this bill that compels them to actually lend.
That's correct. I mean, you know, you can't make banks go out and make loans. On the other hand,
so it's up to the banks.
But that's what banks are supposed to do. They want to make loans so they can make money. That's how they make their money. So the idea is if they're able to get these bad assets off their books, get some cash for them, that will free up some cash so that they can go out and make those loans and they don't need to hoard it in order to support their financial position.
Well, that's something of a theory, though, because if the banks don't want to take a risk on a small business in your community, then that business goes down regardless of whether this bill passes or not, right?
That's correct. But I think it's more likely that that small business will get a loan if this bill passes than if it doesn't pass. I think if it doesn't pass, then we're going to see a very severe restriction in credit, and that would spell huge problems. I think with this bill that there's a good possibility that it will work and that we will see credit start to flow more freely.
Well, there's certainly a huge bet that that is indeed what's going to happen. Gus Fauché, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.